Let's look in our Bibles again in Acts chapter 7. And if you would read in English and in Chichua from verse 31 down to verse 38. Acts 7, 31 to 38. And I want to speak today on what is the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord.
Koma Mose pakuona nazizwa pajone kazi ndipo pakuyandikira iye kuona nadza mawu anguye akuti ine ndine mulungu wa makolo anu mulungu wa Abraham ndi mulungu wa Isaka ndi mulungu wa Yakobo ndipo Mose anandimvumira wosalimbira dzima kupenye tsapo ndipo ambuye anati kwa iye masula tsapo zako mabasa ako pakuti pamalo amene upondapo wopatulika kuona ndaona choyipidwa cha apanga ali mwa Igupto ndipo ndamva kubula kwawo ndipo datsika kuwala yakuditsa ndipo tsopano tiye kuno ndikutume ku Igupto. Verse 35. Mose uyu amene anaankhala ndi kuti wakuyika iwe ndani wankulu ndiwo woti weruzi amene Mulungu anamtuma khale mkulu ndi mombolo ndipo ndi dzanja lake langelo wamuonekera pa chitsamba. Verse 36. Ameneyo anawatsogolera natuluka nawo atachita zozizwa ndi zizindikiro mwa Igupto ndi nyanja yofiira ndi mchipululu zaka 40. Uyu ndi Mose uja adati kwa ana Israeli, Mulungu adzakutirani mneneri mwa abale anu monga ine. Verse 38. Uyu ndiye amene anali mu mpingo mchipululu pamodzi ndi ngelo wakulankhula naye pa phiri la Sinai ndi makolo athu amene analandira maneno a moyo akutipatsa ife.
The mother story, the mother at the start, and as did you know to observe the voice of the Lord said to him, "Cry, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And the mother trembled and bared no blood. Then the Lord said to him, "Take your fellows of your faith, for the place where you stand is on the ground. I've sure seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I'll send you to Egypt." This Lord, whom they rejected, Christ, who made you a ruler and a judge, is the one God sent you to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in a book. He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness forever. This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. From your brethren, whom you shall hear. This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and with our father, the one who received the living oracle to give to us. That's it.
Very well. Well, here we have a very clear testimony of the Spirit of God through the mouth of Stephen, of just how God speaks with sinners. We run into many, many, many people today that believe that God has spoken to them, and they will even so much as say that the Lord told me this or the Lord told me that. But when you listen to what they have to say, it does not in any way correspond with how God has spoken in His Word. An example here is these that were accusing Stephen. They said that they believed Moses, that Moses was for them their authority, and yet they did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is clear from what Stephen is saying here is that Moses, when the Lord spoke with him and raised him up to go deliver Israel, it was that he be as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you read it there in Acts 7 and verse 37, even Moses said that a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear. He was speaking of Christ. You see, even our Lord Jesus, when he came to this earth, these very same descendants of Israel, the religious leaders of the day, they boasted of having Moses as their prophet. And our Lord told them, if you believe Moses, you would believe me. Even when today we encounter people that say that they're Christians and that they believe that God has spoken to them, the scriptures are clear that unless their testimony is that of the Word of God, the written Word of God, then they're liars. God has not spoken to them, no matter what they say. They're deluded. That's why we're studying this in Acts 7 and verse 31. It's clear that the Lord drew Moses to that burning bush. And as we saw last time, that burning bush is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what we're looking at here in verse 31, it says, and as he drew near to behold it, notice, the voice of the Lord came unto him.
Verse nikayale sadaka yake maana kuti kamilike na yake nikikuti kuti jambo la Yesu Kristo ndio mose ndio jambo la Yesu Kristo nikarasa ndio anabudi kama mose kwa kuona anazidi kwa kuoneka hayo ndipo kwa kiandikia iye kukaona kunaza mau ambu yeye.
So today, if somebody would say, well, God has spoken to me, the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, that speaking would have to be exactly in accord with the scriptures, with how God revealed himself to Moses, because God doesn't speak in two ways. There's one way that he speaks. So this is important. How do we know the voice of the Lord?
Jeno ngati pano munthu wina atalankhula zoona kuti mulungu wamulankhula anenekera alankhulidwe mofanana ndi mmene mulungu adalankhulira ndi mose chipulumu muja kreso muthalisisa pachimayaka moto chifukwa pa mulungu alibe njira ziwiri zakulankhulira mmene adalankhulira ndi mose ndi mmene mose akhoza kulankhulira ndi anthu anthupalinga ndi zino.
There are some today that will listen for an audible voice, because they say, well, when God spoke to these, it was with an audible voice. And so that's what they listen for today. They want some kind of audible voice. But what I can tell you is that yes, even though God spoke with these directly back in the day, it was because the scriptures had not yet been completed. They did not have the entire word that we have today that was revealed and inspired and now preserved for us to read. But now I can tell you that the word is complete, that what God has purposed to say, he has said, and it's written in the very Bible that we're reading. And I don't know if you've read recently the very last verses of our Bible, but in Revelation chapter 22 and verses 18 and 19, we have a very clear warning from God not to add to this written word. There are people today that like to pretend that somehow they've received a vision from God or in a dream or heard a voice, and they will stand up and testify of that during their times of worship. But we can tell them that they're deluded, that they're false, that that is not how God speaks.
Amara Zaniza, Numa Kudu, Wana, Walla Kula, Makontena, Mumaloto, Go Amasuka Poyer of Maga Uza, Lemon Babayan Kula, Naroda Samuza with the Governor, Munbanayan Kula, Masson to Yamga. He made him so much minimum Waman and Kurida, Kulakulan, but I did too.
You just read it. And this is the Word of God where He says that He testifies unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy in verse 18, Revelation 22. It says, of this book in the original, that word book is the word Bible, Biblios. So He's speaking not just of the book of Revelation, but the entire canon of Scripture of which we are to give heed.
Yesu mina kushone naapa pa uchisimikizia kuno disipa na ile kila soko gani zanga ruki mungu akuzo la kula masombeja tena maloto amina kama tena zanga ruki mungu amina kwa langu kwa ni maga 18 na kuri ni kila ugoni kwa mufari yesu wa kumfa maa alchine nero cha kukui kwa wana kwa chapu kule chifu kumfu kwa kuma bale blono yesu kika.
That's why when I encounter people that say that the Lord spoke to them, I'm going to question them. You mean from His written word, His written inspired word? If they refer to any other type of voice than this word, then I can tell them with certainty that they're deluded, that they did not hear the voice of the Lord. That was not the voice of the Lord. Now, there are times where the Lord has directed me, and I'm sure if you're the Lord, you can identify with this, that He brought home to our heart His Word and caused His Word to come to our mind and heart and directed us through His Word. That's one thing. But I'm talking about those who during meetings will stand up and they'll turn their eyes up toward heaven and they'll roll their eyes back and then they'll begin to mutter some things and then they say, well, the Lord is speaking through me. That's not how the Lord speaks. But I must also warn us that there are those that would agree. They would say, yes, if God speaks today, He speaks only through His written word. And so they'll stand up there and open this word and begin to preach the word. But here again, we need discernment. How do we know that that preacher is speaking on behalf of God?
Now, there was me not a Guayima, a Guadigira, what we said so by Bureau, Jordan the Guadu, Trump of Guadigira. Suppose you are two of the lines, who already fly, already fly, and send them over with you and also get up by you.
Here again, we're not left to speculate. If you look in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, we have the answer. How are we to discern, even if someone stands there with a Bible open, how are we to discern whether or not they're truly speaking the Word of God?
You know, Also, in Harujadi. They don't want me to be a slave. Isaiah chapter
8:20. So even here, you can see the standard. This was back when the Lord was still giving a revelation of himself and the word was being written. But he says very specifically to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. It's telling us that there are many false preachers who are taking this word and speaking, but it's not according to this word. So here's the connection with what we're reading, with how he revealed himself to Moses. If it's according to this word, that means that how he reveals himself to us today, those that are his, it's going to be in the same way. It's going to be the same message. How do I know if I've heard the voice of the Lord? Well, it's going to be according to this word. When it says there, and Stephen preached, that as Moses drew near to behold the burning voice, bush, the voice of the Lord came unto him. Notice it's in singular. The voice. There's only one voice of the Lord. I will tell you that if God has ever spoken to a sinner, that voice, the voice of the Lord, is the voice of His Son. It has always been through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ is the Word. And this is the big difference between people today that stand up and testify and say God has spoken. When you listen to them, they're not speaking of Christ. And even if they are, the Jesus that they pronounce is not the Christ of Scripture. So here's where we need the Spirit of God to give us discernment. Here in Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3, we have a confirmation of what I've just said to you. Tell you without hesitation that that voice out of the burning bush was none other than the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know some will say, well, he wasn't even on earth at that time, hadn't even been born. But that's why Christ told the Pharisees, he said, before Abraham was, I am. He didn't say I was, he said, I am.
Abraham asked the car in a good report. She would have worked with daddy by two put it up. Every car in what Calvary Abraham added.
Now, here, when the writer to the Hebrews speaks of how God spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. He's not saying that that was a different revelation to the prophets. What he's saying is that very Son by which God spoke unto them has now been revealed in these last days. But now here's where, again, we need to be discerning, because there are many today that will agree with that. They'll say, yeah, I believe that God has spoken to me through his Son. If you had a stranger that came to your house and said to you that your son had sent them, my sons are grown. So if I had somebody come to my house and knock on the door and told me that my son had sent them, I would begin to ask them, well, what's my son's name? And describe him for me. I'd want to know if truly it was my son who had spoken to them or not. Even our Lord said, many shall say in that day unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not done many mighty works in your name? Have we not prophesied in your name? And he will say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you.
The Bible comes from David, the son of Jonah. I'm me, I've been a woman, not a little of food, so I didn't pay a whole lot. He might say, indeed, indeed. Now that's the way I'm going to talk about the way I'm going to be doing it. Sit up with you on me.
I'm sure they're like here. I get some men coming through and stop in and sit down in our congregation who feel as if they have a call of God to preach. There are many congregations that that's all you have to do. Show up and tell them that you're a preacher, that you're a minister of God. And first thing they do is give you the pulpit. They want to hear you speak. They want to hear from you. They get all excited. I don't. John in his epistle said, behold, or beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into this world. Many, many, many false prophets. But even here, we're not left to speculate. Again, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, then there is no light in them. That's why the writer to the Hebrews continued. The Spirit of God directed him not just to stop with hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, and left it up to each person's interpretation as to how God has revealed himself. No, the scriptures declare the Son. So if I encounter somebody that tells me that they're a Christian and that God has spoken to them through his Son, I'm going to listen for how they describe that Son, because if it's not according to this word, then we can be certain that God has not revealed the Son in them. And here's what I know for certain, is that what God revealed to Moses concerning himself is a revelation of Christ. It was that burning bush was a revelation of Christ to Moses. And I know this, that what he revealed to Moses is going to be the same thing that he has revealed to any one of the others of those that he has purposed to save. It's going to be the revelation of Christ, the voice of the Lord. And you can do a comparison between how Stephen preached the voice of the Lord to Moses from the scriptures and how the writer to the Hebrews declared Jesus, the Son of God. There's no disharmony. There's no disunity. There's no two different messages. It's the same word. You can see in Acts 7:32, the very first thing that was declared is who he is as God. I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And it says, then Moses trembled. Can you see how the Lord was directing Stephen? Because these to whom Stephen was preaching had exalted Moses above the Lord Jesus Christ. They feared Moses, but they did not fear the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see he's showing them that they really did not have the fear of the Lord in them, because had they the fear of the Lord, they would have trembled. They would have bowed, just as the Lord caused Moses to bow.
You see, how people respond today is an indication to me that they have not heard the voice of the Lord. Because when you go into these assemblies where they say that God is speaking and you see how the people are behaving, there's no fear of the Lord. Everybody's up jumping around and hooping and hollering and carrying on like they're somebody. But where is that one that has been brought low like Moses before the Lord where he trembled?
And
Where God speaks, there's a quietness before Him. God is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before Him. I don't see that silence. I don't see that trembling. I don't see that fear of the Lord in people today that say that God has spoken. But secondly, even what the Lord said of Himself and how He reveals Himself, you can see the sovereignty of the Lord. The Lord Jesus that's revealed in Scripture, as the writer to the Hebrews here says, He is the heir of all things by whom He also made the world. This is the heir. This is God's appointed heir of all things. There are people today that whenever there is a child born into the family of British royalty in England, all the news cameras are there, everybody's talking about this being the future heir of the throne, as if that's somebody or something to be considered. But you think about when it says here, the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world is the heir of all things. In other words, it is in His hand to do with what He will. There are many today that profess a Jesus, and yet it's a Jesus that is in their hands. That's what they've been told. They'll say, well, here's Jesus. He came as an offering. He offers Himself to you, and He invites you to accept Him as your personal Savior. Won't you do that? They're putting in men's hands. I will tell you, that's not the Jesus of Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ of Scripture is the one in whose hands are all things. He's the heir of all things. Whether sinners are saved or condemned is up to Him. It's not up to the sinner. Can you imagine if they went and gathered up all of the prisoners in Malawi, some of the worst ones that have committed murder, and brought them into the courtroom, and the judge stands up and says, now, if you will accept to be released, just raise your hand and repeat after me, I'm guilty, and I committed the crime, but now I accept to be released based on the word of the judge. How many of you want to be released? Have you ever seen a courtroom like that? But isn't that how these preachers are preaching today? God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. He really would like to save you, but we need your okay for God to save you. Anybody want to raise their hand so God will save them? Okay, I see that hand. Okay, come on down front, and now you're okay. I will tell you that those that preach that way have never heard the voice of the Lord. They've never known the Christ of Scripture. Else they would not be preaching that way.
Yes.
Stephen declared when Moses heard the voice of the Lord, he trembled. He trembled. He did not know at that point whether it was to save him or to condemn him, that God was speaking. And I dare say from that time forward, it was the Lord who had to reassure Moses that it was for his salvation that he spoke to him and not his condemnation. But it took the Lord reassuring him. It was the same thing with Saul of Tarsus when the Lord brought him down. He trembled. He feared. He did not know what it was in God's purpose until God showed him that he was one of God's chosen vessels for whom Christ had paid the debt, and now he would be raised up to serve this very one that he had opposed. When God is pleased to reveal himself in a sinner,
through his son, we're going to know that son exactly as he is revealed in Scripture. Not one that is in the sinner's hand, but rather the opposite, that the sinner is in this son's hand to do with what he will. This is what our Lord said in John 17. He thanked the Father in verse 2 that the Father had given him power over all flesh. See, that's what the writer to the Hebrews is describing him as, the heir. He was appointed heir of all things, power over all flesh. Notice that he should give eternal life to as many as want it. Is that what your Bible says? No. To as many as thou hast given him.
Imena kuti monga mwampatsa iye ulamuliro pathupiri lonse kuti onse amene mwampatsa iye awapatsa iwo moyo wosatha kodi akautenga kuti amapeka moyo wosatha kwa amene wafuna kupeza kuti ayi koma kwa amene wapatsidwa ndi azazi kwa Yesu Khristu amene ayenekera kuwapatsa moyo wosatha akumanikiza dahe eli mchawano cha letsata chungu Yesu adamwika kukhala mwana wa amene wolamulira zonse zili mʼmanja mwake.
That's why we don't give invitations in our messages to invite sinners to do something. It's salvation's not in their hands. You'll never find in Scripture the apostles or the prophets or the Lord himself ever, after a message, inviting people to make a decision for him. You won't find it. The gospel message is not an invitation. It's a command. Bow or perish. That's all. Bow or perish. There's no invite. Even our Lord Jesus in Matthew 11 and verses 27 and 28, he said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and listen to this, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Matthew 11 and verse 27. Now some will say, well, verse 28, that's an invitation. No, it's not. It's a command. Come unto me. If Christ has been revealed in you, he in whom I reveal myself, come unto me.
I'm sure that if one of your wives had finished preparing a meal, and when it was done, stood up and yelled to her children and said, "Okay, children, come and eat." And all of the children of the village or neighborhood came to eat. What would your wife say? She would say, "No, I invited or I called my children, not all of you. This is addressed to my children." This verse 28 is addressed to those in whom the Son is pleased to reveal himself. Invitation. There were many other people there, but it was to Moses that this word was addressed because he was one of the Lord's. What a difference when we read here in Acts 7 and verse 32 that the voice of the Lord, notice, came unto him. It wasn't coming begging. He came to him in power. "I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, and God of Jacob." It says, Moses trembled and durst not behold. In other words, his head was down in shame. And here's another difference in what men say when they say God spoke and what God says, because in verse 33 it says, "Then said the Lord to him." Notice who's doing the talking here. Who's doing the revealing? It's the Lord. It's not Moses talking. His speech is taken away. We have a saying here in the United States concerning certain types of people. If their lips are moving, they're lying. But I can tell you that that's what it is in all of these religious meetings going on. If their lips are moving, they're lying. Every time they open their mouth and pronounce the name of God, they're lying. When the Lord spoke to Moses, he was silent. It says there, "Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest." Notice, it doesn't say loving ground. "Moses, I've come to talk to you because I want to express my love for you, and I want you to know how much I love you, and won't you please do what I ask you to do because I love you." No, he says he dealt with him based on his holiness. And that's how God speaks through his Son. It's based on his holiness. Christ would not have come to this earth were it not that there was a holy God whose law and justice had to be answered in order for God to be just and justify them. Do you realize that in the entire book of Acts of the Apostles, which is the message that the Lord gave to the apostles to preach, the word love is not mentioned one time. But I can tell you the word holy is mentioned multiple times. Just as we see here, the ground, the place where thou standest is holy ground. That's where we have to begin with sinners. Who is it that we have to deal with? It's a holy God. And that's why when we preach the necessity of the coming and the doing and the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because apart from His work, there are none that will be saved. That's what the writer to the Hebrews declared in verse 3, speaking of the Son of God, who being in the brightness of God's glory, the express image of His person, and upholding all things by, notice, the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. He's declaring the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His work accomplished for sinners. Therein is salvation, nowhere else. And this is Stephen's message. It's the message of any who have heard the voice of the Lord. He's declaring a God who has revealed Himself through the Lord Jesus Christ, the same God of Abraham, the same God of Isaac, the same God of Jacob, before whom Moses trembled. Stephen is going to conclude with them that that God has come in the flesh in the person of this Jesus of Nazareth. Hear Him. And you can see in verse 34, and I'm going to stop with this and we'll come back to it, where he says, I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt. It's not a matter of us seeing Christ. It's Him having seen us in our affliction, in our sin, in our condemnation. Notice he says, I've heard their groaning. In other words, these are the ones of whom Christ said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. In other words, the very knowledge and sight of a holy God is enough to cause us to see our condemnation and to cry out unto Him. And notice, he doesn't say, now that I've heard it, won't you please come to me? No, I am come down to deliver them. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came, to save those that were lost. To be lost means there's no way back unless He does the saving. That's what the scriptures declare. That same God that came down and through Moses to deliver that people is the one who has now come down in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the express image of God, no difference. And as the writer of the Hebrews says, when He had by Himself purged our sins. In other words, this matter of salvation is His work and His alone. And that's why, if any have heard the voice of the Lord, this is how we weigh men's testimonies. We don't just take their word for it. If it is not according to this word, they have never heard the voice of the Lord. Well, I'm going to stop there and we'll turn it back over to you.
Yeah, but you know, I'm a little bit.